This is God's Covenant Church, the Church of God established in Jesus' name. Thanking God for another Sabbath day in the School of Wisdom. So glad to be here. So glad to be a part of God's church. And the scripture says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I'm glad that I'm a son today, and the opportunity has been set before you to become a son if you receive it. And at this time, I present unto you our great pastor and teacher, Perry Boyd.
Thank you, Elder Phillips. To our elders, our missionary, deacons, and all the saints, all that hear my voice, we do greet you in the name of Jesus. Another Sabbath day. We've just returned from Florida, and God bless us to go and come in safety. We're glad about that. And our prayers are to those that are going through great tribulation. But we're here, and we're here to bring you good news. God is yet on the throne. God is yet reigning. We want to talk about these blind leaders of the blind. Before we get into that, we got a couple numbers for you. The first, Lord love the gates of Zion. Thank God. Beautiful. All of our help come from the Lord. We're at 425 Laconia Boulevard. We strive to make sure our help stays with us by obeying God's word. It means something to hear God's word when God is calling us. And the call goes out to men and women everywhere. Thank God. It's all about hearing God's call.
God is calling.
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 Yes.
We thank God for this opportunity, this door of utterance today.
Yes.
As I say, a number of us in the church, we were in Florida, in Orlando. And the storm was moving. But thank God it moved all around us. Thank God. Isn't that beautiful? Deacon Debbie, what's our announcements?
You can visit us anytime for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us anytime at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Now the pastor.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank God, another Sabbath day. And as I say, before I get into this thought, I just want to let you know what prefaces thought. When we got in Orlando, we the saints of God, just minding our own business, trying to enjoy our vacation in fellowship in the Spirit. And there was a young man that approached one of our members and said, "Are you praying?" in so many words. Maybe I'm paraphrasing things. He said, "Well, praying, we pray with our leader." And he kind of got a little offended. "What kind of doctrine is this? What do you mean you're praying with your leader?" The scripture says you know not what you should pray for, but the Spirit gives you what to pray for. Everyone should be praying with the shepherd, their shepherd. And the scripture says we as followers of God should pray for one another. But I'm not going to pray for you unless I know you to be a follower of God, a believer. I receive your testimony, but if you give me your testimony and I find error in your testimony, I'm speaking as a pastor. It's my job to edify and to perfect. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
We have the Spirit of God. We should be subject to what the scripture is saying, not what you feel or think. And so he asked one of the members, "Where is your pastor?" He said, "Yeah, my pastor." He said, "I want to talk to him because I don't understand why you can't just pray that we be safe for this tsunami or whatever, the hurricane, and we want to pray for the world." So he ran into me and he said, "Are you the pastor?" "Yeah, I'm the pastor." He said, "Well, let's sit down and talk." I said, "Oh, fine, let's talk." And he said, "I'm praying for the world." I said, "Well, that's not the scripture." The Lord said, "I pray not for the world." He said, no, that's not. I said, "Oh, that's scripture." No, and as the conversation went on, he said, "I don't want to argue." I said, "No, we're not arguing. We're reasoning together. Reasoning in the scripture." And I believe began to tell him what the scripture says, but everything he told me is how he felt and thought. I said, "I've been where you are. It's not about what we feel or think. And we can't take the sayings of the Lord and start paraphrasing it and making that a doctrine." He said he was an agent of Christ. I said, "Agent is not in the scripture." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "But he gave some prophets, some apostles, some pastors and teachers, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints." That's the, and for the edifying of the body. That's what we do here. And he went on and on and on. And then he says, "Well, I'm praying for the world." I said, "Well, the Lord says, I pray not for the world, but for those that have given me out of the world." And this is why we have so many doing things out of order. At that time when he approached and we were talking, we were playing dominoes. We don't play for money. We don't gamble. And I said, "Daryl," that was his name, and I didn't call him Brother Daryl, because the way he's talking, he wasn't a brother. I said, "These dominoes, we're shuffling them around." I said, "You're like these dominoes, you're all over the place." That's the way the church world is. I said, but now I'm going to put them in order here. And I said, I'm going to talk to you about order. I said, I don't have no problem if you're praying for the world and if God's anointed are led to pray for the world. I'm not. And so in the words, I let him know. The Lord told Abraham, I would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And he kept going back to, I'm praying for the world. I said, listen, I have a nephew that asked for prayer. He was into drugs. He's, as far as I know, he's yet in drugs. I said, the scripture says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Yes. We strive to do that. I said, he said, Uncle Perry, could you help me come off these drugs? I said, why don't you come to church, listen to the teaching, to God's word, and we can go from there. I said, now, had he come, maybe when he came, I had the saints, we all pray together and pray that he would have a mind to yield to the teaching. But it's the word that we want him to listen to, because everything is made by the world. I mean, by the word. I said he never came. So that showed me he didn't want. But what he could get for free. I said, that's where the church world is. They want all the blessings of God, but they don't want to sacrifice anything to get it. They don't want to suffer the detoxing of smoking. They want to wake up and God just take it all away from them. They do nothing. Life is not like that. I said, I'm not going to let one use God. I'm not doing that. But I will go as God lead me. I don't say I won't pray for the world, but that's not the teaching to pray for the world when they don't have a mind to live for God. What are you praying for them for? So as I said, we went on, and this is why I came to this thought. Matthew's 15:1. Because you got, I said, Daryl, you're being led and you don't know what you're talking about. He knew a lot of scriptures, but he didn't know how to rightly divide the scripture. As the scripture says, here a little and there a little will I speak to my people. And it takes the Spirit of God to take you here and there to put the pieces together so you can understand what God is talking about and get the vision. Then he began to take words and say, now perfect don't mean perfect. He said it means, in the Hebrew translation, complete. Well, what is that? If you're complete, that means you're not sinful. He said, I'm an evangelist. Told me that the second day I saw him. He said, and you are an offense to me. I said, well, let me tell you something. Anytime you say you're yet sinning and you're an evangelist, you're an offense to God. I said, first of all, you're not saved, because if you're saved, you're saved from sin. If you're yet sinning, you're not saved. He got offended because I told him the truth. These are blind leaders of the blind. Matthew 15:1, what does it say?
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?
So maybe we transgress the traditions of the elders because every time we go and sit down to eat, whether we're at home or out and about, we don't have a yarmulke on our head, or we're not holding hands with our head bowed praying for food. When God said, if you keep my commandments, I'm going to bless your bread, your water, your store, when you go out, when you come in, if you keep my commandments, you ain't got to pray for it. We don't pass a basket around here at 425 Laconia Boulevard. And after the collection is taken up, that's backwards. After it's taken up, then you pray over it. How foolish is that? God supposedly give the leader a message. And you're going to pray over the message before you bring it. How foolish is that? That means you don't have confidence in what God has given you. The sower went out to sow seeds. He didn't start praying before he started spraying the seeds. Stand in the middle of the field and hold his head, bow his head. Got a bag full of seed, he's going to start praying. Now he starts sowing. How foolish is that? Read.
For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.
Carnal mind, always about the natural. They don't wash their hands before they eat. What?
But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
Transgressing God's commandments. That's where the sin is. Now, read the 14th verse, Peter. I want to get into a lot of the dialogue they were talking about. But it's about the scribes and Pharisees. What did he say in the 14th verse?
Let them alone.
Let them alone. We don't try to go into these churches declaring the whole counsel of God. We try to do that, but come out of there with all kind of things on us. All kind of spirits. Next thing you know, we come out of there and we just like them. If God didn't send us. Why would God send you to amongst those that are not seeking the knowledge? They are comfortable with what they have. Let them alone. What?
They be blind leaders of the blind.
What?
And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Both going to hell. Yes. They're blind and they're leaders of the blind. And they will cross land and sea to make one proselyte. What does the ninth verse say?
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Wait a minute. They worship God and they are sincere in what they're doing. But it's vain because, as I say, he got offended because I said, that's not the scripture. He said, well, you're trying to tell me I'm not holy. I said, I'm not saying anything. What does the scripture say? The scripture says, I pray not for the world. The Lord said, I pray not for the world, but for those that have given me out of the world. In other words, those that were in the world, God have gathered together. He's not praying for those that don't take heed to the call. What?
And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand.
Here is all about understanding what God is talking about. What does the 12th verse say? Then
came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?
And this is what he did. This man got offended, and the next day we saw him, he came to me and said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, all right, we can talk. Because although he got offended in God's word, he was condemned.
Right.
I didn't condemn him. The word I spoke condemned him. And all I spoke was truth. I spoke what the scripture said. I didn't say I was an agent. I said those that God sent edify and perfect. That's what I said. I said, the Lord said, I pray not for the world, and I'm with the Lord. He got offended. He said, well, you're trying to tell me I don't have nothing? I said, I'm going to bring you the scripture. I said, the Lord said, believe on me as the scripture hath said. And he was offended. He said, the Holy Spirit came in his morning and said, to tell you, I forgive you for your offense. I said, all right, thank you. I said, I'm glad to hear that. I said, but you are a sinner and call yourself an evangelist. You are offensive to God. Let's go to St. John 8 and 3.
All right.
Now, when once he talk like that and bring the truth, I said, he said, the first time I met him, he said, you're pretty strong in what you believe. I said, wait a minute. Paul said, there's one Lord, one faith, baptism, one baptism. How strong is that? Shouldn't we all be strong in what we feel and believe? I don't have a problem with one that's fervent or strong in what they believe, but let it be the truth. Let it be scripture. With all this, he said, I'm an evangelist and I'm bringing, teaching people about, I said, what are you teaching them? And I just said, I edify and pray and perfect. He said, I'm teaching them God's culture. I said, that ain't scripture, culture. What are you talking about? I said, everything you're talking about is all carnal. That ain't, God ain't got no culture. You might call it a culture. Why don't you say, I'm teaching the way of holiness. I'm teaching what pleases God. All that scripture. But you wouldn't say culture. How foolish is that? But when I said that, well, that's what I'm talking about. Well, if that's what you're talking about, compare spiritual, not with natural. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Now, 8 and 3, what does it say? St. John.
And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery.
What?
And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act.
In adultery, in the very act. If she was in the very act, where's the other partner? Where's the other part? The very act. So they're coming to the Lord with foolishness. Read the 6th verse. What does it say?
This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him.
What I've learned over and over again, I'm learning it more and more. If you're not coming to seek knowledge. Let them alone. I'm here to give. Someone would say, oh, you sold so-and-so, you can't receive. I didn't say I can't receive, but if you're going to show me something or share something with me, share it with scripture. And if I'm right dividing it, receive me. And I told him, I said, you approached me, I didn't approach you. God's people are fully satisfied. He said, I give you bread where you hunger no more. The Lord knew all men. I know them too, by the Spirit. Yes, yes. So I'm not asking for anything. I'm not being exalted. I'm just telling you what I feel. Everyone that God sent should be complete. They should be looking. Well, can you share some with me? How can you ask somebody to share some with you if God's feeding you? How are you going to ask somebody to something like that? Why would I go to another minister and ask them for knowledge if God is feeding me? But if I don't feel complete, if I'm curious, like, why do you do this? That means I'm not satisfied with what God has given me. That means I'm yet seeking. And God does have more and more knowledge. Now, if you share something with me and I recognize it to be knowledge, God will give me a mind to receive it. Fine. If he give me a mind not to receive it, I'm not going to do that either. Read.
But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not.
He didn't want to fool with the scribes and Pharisees because they were coming from the wrong base. Trying to debate and trap him to prove they had more than what he had. That was the plot. Read.
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her.
In other words, but now the carnal-minded people say, ain't nobody without sin. That's what Jesus was trying to show. They were with sin because of the way they judged the matter. They didn't judge it properly, so they had sin in their heart.
That's right.
And more importantly, they couldn't cast it. It didn't say that they shouldn't have. But if you're not living for God, you're free to sin. If you have a desire to live for God, you must learn the requirements. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
God's people are not free to sin, but if you're a sinner, you are. That's why he said this, what?
And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, convicted by their own conscience,
what?
Went out one by one.
One by one, what?
Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
What did he say to her?
When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers?
Now, where are your accusers now? Because they convicted themselves by realizing they had sin in their life, trying to condemn her. What did he say?
Hath no man condemned thee?
What?
She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Now, we don't condemn the world. But if you come to the service, if you come to a teaching, we're going to let you know what the Lord said to her and to everyone. Go and sin no more. Because you're in range to hear God's voice, to hear the word. The word says, go and sin no more. Now, why would God tell you to go and sin no more? He wasn't telling her, you're free to sin and go ahead and sin. He said, go and sin no more now that you're here. How plain is that? And God would not put anything on you you're not able to bear. That means she was able not to sin. But the word came and brought judgment on her. Not because it was seeking her, but because she was in the presence of judgment. And judgment came. They brought judgment on her, which was not just. But God gave her just judgment. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
1, St. John 1 and 12. Go and sin no more. So he didn't give her a free pass to sin, to continue in that. He didn't give her that. And he told me, he said, can't nobody live free from sin. I said, well, the scripture says, be ye therefore perfect. But that ain't what it means. In the Hebrew translation, it means complete. How dumb is that? If you're complete, you're holy. If you're holy, you're sinless. And how plain is that? That means you're whole. That's what we all strive for. Is that right? But it's the enemy that tricked him with all of this mess. That's what he did in the garden. Well, you ain't going to sure die, but you're going to be his gods. You're going to brought another whole blood in something. Anybody even talking about that? I don't want to hear about what the Hebrew translation. I can translate it right through the scriptures here. You don't need a translation to understand what that means. It means to live holy. 1 and 12 says what?
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
So everybody hear my voice. If you receive God's word, you have the power to become God's son. What?
Even to them that believe on his name.
What?
Which were born not of blood.
He's not talking about believing on the name of Jesus unless you understand what Jesus' name is. His name is the word. That's what we're talking about. And believing on his name. Which what?
Which were born not of blood.
What?
Nor of the will of the flesh.
What?
Nor of the will of man.
What?
But of God.
But of God. 1 John 5:18. If you don't get anything else from what I'm saying, quit believing these blind leaders telling you you're free to sin out here. Now he paid the price. He did pay the price, but not for you to continue in sin. He's come to save his people from sin. That's what the scriptures say. So if you're not saved from sin, you're not saved. Because that's what salvation is. He said, what is salvation? I said, to be saved from sin. If you're not saved from sin, you don't have salvation. 1 John 5:18, what does it say?
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten.
What you say? 1 John 5:18. You said, we know that whosoever is born of God, what?
Sinneth not.
Sinneth not. All right, what?
But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
So what does that mean, sinneth not? That means you don't have sin in your life. You don't sin. If you're born of God, you sinneth not, and you keep yourself from that. How complete is that? How whole is that? How holy is that? 3:8. Read that. 3:8. 1 John 3:8. He.
He that committed sin is of the devil.
Now he read that. I said, now he said he that committed sin is what? Is I said, keep reading. He said of the devil. I said, that's what I was just telling you. If you commit sin, you ain't saved. You of the devil. What?
For the devil sinneth from
the beginning. Did you know what he told me? He said, well, committed don't mean the same thing as commit. Committeth. I said, Daryl, please. I said, come on, Daryl. But you know what the Lord showed me? If you're not circumcised from all of these false doctrines, you don't know what I'm talking about. And he didn't. But yet he was condemned. He that committed sin is of the devil. What?
For the devil sinneth from the beginning.
What?
For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested.
That's why he ran into God's Son. To do what?
That he might destroy the works of the devil.
I was striving to destroy the works of the devil. I said, Daryl, I've been there. This is false what you believe. What?
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
So what he said, commit and committed, is different.